1017 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in. Are your finances low, your mindset off track, or are you ready to get into real estate? Tune in to The Journey with Coach Erica every first and third Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 1017 The Truth. It's all about mindset, money, and real estate, helping you take the next step toward building a better future. Truth Nation, if you are just now tuning in, we are talking about whether or not should schools notify parents before formally teaching students about non-binary identities or gender-related pronouns. And speaking of this, your president put out, I think he did a press release today, press conference today or yesterday. Z, let's roll the clip and see what the orange man got to say.
Our educational system itself was really, I mean, it was incredibly, before I got here, it was weaponized like everything else in our government. Under the last administration, extreme ideologies such as critical race theory and transgender insanity were forced upon our children as young as 4 and 5 years old. Transgender didn't work. Under the Trump administration, we're systematically ending every single one of these radical betrayals, and we're putting the parents back in charge. They're the ones that love our children. They're the ones that should be in charge. Every public school in America is now on notice that if they tell a child that they're trapped in the wrong body, they are committing child abuse. From the very beginning of our country, Americans have understood that there's no job more important than teaching our children to become happy, healthy, proud, productive, and flourishing citizens. And unfortunately, in the 4 years I took office, and since I took office, our educational system itself was really, I mean, it was incredibly, before I got here, it was weaponized like everything else in our government. Everything was weaponized against the goals that we all stand for. And under the last administration, extreme ideologies such as critical race theory and transgender insanity were forced upon our children as young as 4 and 5 years old. Transgender didn't work. Students were taught that our heroes are villains. The FBI was used to target patriotic parents at school board meetings. And meanwhile, far too many government-run schools failed at the basics. And you just have to look at the charts. They were failing at a thing called education, with only 30% of the students proficient in reading and math. That was under the last administration. Under the Trump administration, we're systematically ending every single one of these radical left betrayals, and we're putting the parents back in charge. They're the ones that love our children. They're the ones that should be in charge. So immediately upon taking office, I signed an executive order to ban.
So let's catch that last part right quick.
That was a big deal. We banned men from playing in women's sports. That was so easy to do. I don't get it. They're still arguing. They're still fighting. I saw it.
So, if you are just now tuning in, we are talking about whether or not should schools notify parents before formally teaching students about non-binary identities or gender-related pronouns. What you just heard was a clip from Trump's press conference today. So I am obviously feeling away because he talked about the critical race theory, which is an academic and legal framework created in the 70s and 80s that examines how systemic racism is embedded in laws, legal systems, and institutions rather than just existing as individual prejudice. I am wholeheartedly against them banning that because the truth is the truth. Now, when it comes to the second part of what he said, I have no issue with that. And the reason being is because no adult should be enforcing anything on a child based off of their own decision when it comes to their identity. Right. You're not even allowing the child to grow up to choose its own identity. That I am against most definitely. When we're talking about whether or not the school should, you know, notify parents about if they're going to have a conversation or teach non-binary identities or gender related pronouns, I do believe that there should be some type of notification going out to the parents. The parent that came to the school today was hot. She didn't even come up there for that. But because she had them, you know, in front of her, it became a topic. And as an educator, as a leader, you know, I'm not taking up for anybody. I understand that they want to cater to everybody and make everybody comfortable. Yes, we all are human. But at the end of the day, if I send my child to your school, that's just like sex education. I don't even know if they teach it in school anymore. We had it when I was in high school, and my mom most definitely was notified about it. There was a notification, or there was something sitting home letting her know that, hey, this is coming up in our curriculum. This is what we're going to be teaching. Not just overall, but like it broke it down. There was some type of notification sent out. That is not the case anymore, right? And if you're just tuning in before I went to break, I said a harsh reality. Yes, we carried our babies for 9 months. Yes, we was in labor for however many hours. Yes, we raised our children. But the moment we signed that birth certificate, we are officially state property. That means that the state can do whatever it wants, including teach whatever it wants. And if you don't like it, you have to remove your child. Does it make it fair? Absolutely not. Right? And especially for Black educators, if you are in leadership, despite of whatever your sexuality is, you have a responsibility inside of your community to make sure that you notify parents, especially if the demographic you serve are majority Black. Because we all know that this information is sensitive. We know, we understand. Again, we want everybody to feel comfortable. But children are immature. And not only that, nobody's asking them if they're uncomfortable or if they're comfortable with this. Nobody's even asking them how they feel about it whatsoever, let alone talking to the families about it. That's the part that I have a problem with, not just as an educator, but as a parent first. So let's define this term. And obviously, I'm not saying it or talking at you guys because you know what this means. But there are some of my students who are listening. There are some people who may not know what the exact definition is. I want you to think about it in the sense of, if this was your child in school being told certain things without your without your knowledge. Non-binary is a term some people use when their gender identity is not exclusively male or female. Some non-binary people use they and them pronouns while others use different pronouns. So when we talk about non-binary, we're saying that there's a conversation from educators being had with students because there are teachers in the building or staff in the building who fits this, right? They are non-binary. They if they were a man last year, but they're a woman this year, they want to be called a woman. So, and that's a real scenario. And the reason why I say that is because when they go through these transitions, it's happening in real time in front of the students. I'm not trying to be harsh, but I'm not politically correct, and I'm going to speak facts. It's happening in real time in front of these babies. So if you were Mr. So-and-so last year and this year you're Mrs. So-and-so, there most definitely should be a conversation or a notification sent to the families. Not saying that, hey, they're going through this, but just that, hey, we're going to have a conversation about this at the beginning of the school year so that students will know to respect this person or this staff's decision. But can you understand how that can be a little bit much for a child coming back to school, right? They don't talk to the, like, some children may not even have this teacher. Some may not see this teacher throughout the summer break or whatever, and they come back and there's a change and there's no notification about this being a conversation being had with the students or anything. Yes, that is a problem. The fact that you didn't notify the families that you were going to be talking about this or preparing the students for this is a problem. Now let's get into stats. Pew Research Center found in a national polling that 54% of U.S. adults said parents should be able to opt their children out of learning about LGBTQ-related topics at school. Roughly a third said parents should not have that ability. That is a meaningful divide. A majority supported an opt-out, but millions of Americans did not. So that means that majority of the parents say, yes, we want to opt out. They're not saying you can't teach it. We're just saying that we want the choice. We want to have a choice to opt out. And that's personalized based off of your child. How uncomfortable they are or how comfortable they are. Because at the end of the day, the children comes first. I talk to some children who are okay. They have no issues. But then there are some children who are uncomfortable. And God forbid that they say anything about being uncomfortable. They're probably going to get kicked out of school. You understand why this is an issue? You understand why this needs to be a conversation had with the parents ahead of time? When I was coming up, our teachers did house visits, right? What is it to call a parent? Hey, I just want to notify you that we will be having this discussion with your child regarding non-binary and pronouns, not just because of staff, but because of other students. We want everyone to feel respected. We just wanted to give you the courtesy to let you know that this is going to take place and allow that parent to say, is there a chance for me to opt out? If that's what they want to do, or okay, thank you so much for letting me know. Because 9 times out of 10, some of the parents, they probably won't opt out. But they're going to if you do not notify them in advance. Not every parent wants their children exposed to certain things. That is the reality. People feel away, and I'm going to get backlash for it, but I'm a parent. I'm with the daughter who's a part of that community, and I'm telling you the truth. We have to be careful what we are teaching our children, most importantly. And I'm not talking about the that community. I'm talking about more so of the fact that we're showing them that they don't matter. How they feel don't matter. Some of them are caught off guard, and they don't even know how to express themselves because society has made it so difficult for people who are not a part of that community to express themselves on how they feel and how they receive it when it comes to these children. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to dig into more research surrounding the students and the teachers. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. Time, and 1017 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct at the award-winning 1017 The Truth. If you are just now joining us, my question today is, should schools be allowed to teach students about non-binary identities or gender-related pronouns without properly notifying the parents first? And I was just doing some research and found that more parents believe that they should have the right to opt out of this, right? And I want to remove the word curriculum, because curriculum is something that's a little different. To my knowledge, it has not been implemented yet in the state of Wisconsin. I know that in the state of Illinois, it was, and there was a huge issue with some of the teachings and the curriculum surrounding that in the Chicago public school system. But it still is a conversation, right? It still is something that is coming up. It's something that I seen today at work. A parent came in about something else, well, outside about something else, and because she was in front of a staff member, you know, she brought it up. Why are you guys teaching my children or bringing up non-binary gender pronouns without notifying me? And that is a legit question. That is a legit question on numerous of reasons. So a part of the research, we found out that 54% of U.S. adults said parents should be able to opt their children out of learning about the LGBTQ related topics at school. Roughly a third said parents should not have that ability. Teachers aren't unanimous either. According to research with the Public School Teachers Foundation, they roughly found that half supported allowing parents to opt children out of lessons involving sexual orientation or gender identity, while a third opposed that option. And then when we're talking about the young people, the students themselves, national survey research has found teenagers split over whether gender identity should be taught, and among those who support instruction, how it should be framed. So that's the thing too, right? Sometimes it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. So again, if there is a situation where you are an educator in leadership and there is someone in your staff or there are other students who have non-binary pronouns, right? Obviously, you absolutely want everybody in that space to feel comfortable. But when you begin to do it in a way that is sporadic or impulsive, especially if you are a part of that community, then I can see why parents will be offended, right? I can understand it. Again, what I talked about earlier was, imagine your child going to school 1 year and their teacher is a man, and then when they come back the next year, their teacher is a woman. And there has been no preparation about, again, we're not singling anyone out. We're not telling the principals, the CEOs, nobody to send out an email singling out these specific staff members or students. That's illegal. You can't do that, right? But again, if you want to have this conversation with them to make sure that the environment is safe for everybody, there still needs to be some type of conversation had with the parents, because not every child is exposed to this. Not every child understands it, and not every child is comfortable with it. And how do we know this? Well, go ask the youth. If you sit down and have a conversation with them, some of them will tell you it's perfectly fine. Some will tell you that it makes them uncomfortable, but nobody ever thinks to sit down and talk to them and ask them. At this time, I'm talking about high school students. When we're talking about students that's like K-4 through 8th grade, yeah, ain't no way. At any time, if that was the situation, I would automatically remove my child from that school if I was not notified. At any time, if that happened, and my child was, I have a 9-year-old. If this happened at her school and I was not notified, I would pull her out. Absolutely, absolutely would. High school students, it's a little different because some of their peers, right, are that way. Some of the staff is that way. They're a little older. They're learning to become themselves. But it still does not remove the fact that you need to notify the person that carried them for 9 months or whoever their guardian is, to let them know, hey, it's just a courtesy call. We're going to be bringing this up because we want the, you know, in a safe environment. And if you have not talked to your child about this and you feel comfortable doing so, please do so that when they come to school, everyone is all on one accord. How difficult is it to have that conversation? How difficult is it to have that conversation? So now let's separate notification from opt-out. If a school emails you on Monday and say, hey, next week the health unit will include gender identity, that is notification. If the school then says you may remove your child from that lesson, that is an opt-out. A parent can support that first without supporting the second one, right? So which right are we actually asking for? A right to know, a right to inspect the material, a right to remove the child, a right to change the curriculum for everyone. Those are four different levels of authority. And I think our public debate gets messy because we all always throw all four together. My personal opinion, I just believe that we should have the right to opt out. It's the same as sex education, right? It's the same as sex education. Some parents and some religions don't want their children learning this. And that's probably why you don't see it in school as much. I don't know if it still is or not. I just know I had to take it my sophomore year and my freshman year. And my child has never come home and said that they took sex education. But when we did take it in high school, my mother was notified about it. There was notifications sent in the mail to her explaining that we were going to be taking this my freshman and sophomore year. That is not the case anymore. So it's starting to feel like the school systems, obviously, they do what they want. But as parents, we need to be asking our children's questions, too. We need to be taking a look at the curriculum. Matter of fact, the school systems need to just send out a description of what they're going to be teaching. Or at least what platforms, what they're utilizing. Because 9 times out of 10, if you step back and look at it, you probably don't know. Especially once they enter in high school, because they're doing their homework on their own. To all the parents or any guardians out there, when was the last time you talked to your child or the school about the curriculum? When was the last time you've taken a look at the curriculum? And don't say parent-teacher conference. Like, you should be able to. Yes, you should be able to, but they don't always show you what they're teaching unless you ask. You understand what I'm saying? When you go to parent-teacher conference, you talk to the teacher, you look at the grades. Sometimes they show you what they earn on their tests. They talk about their behavior, everything, but they never show you the curriculum. They never sit down and break down the curriculum to you. So now when you go to parent-teacher conference, start asking to see the curriculum. We're not just talking about for because of the non-binary. We're talking about in general. What are you teaching my child? I want to know. Yes, you can know based off of homework, and you can know based off of, you know, information you receive. But what is the actual curriculum, and how effective is it? We got to start having conversations with our babies, man, because I'm telling y'all, right? There's a lot of things that's transpiring in politics, and a lot of these schools are becoming very political. I'm not talking about one specific school at all. I'm not taking shots at one specific school. I'm being transparent. There's a lot of things happening, a lot of hidden agendas. And we're not obviously paying attention enough, right? And we can pull up and ask questions. We can pull up to go look at that curriculum, right? We can pull up and ask our child if they're comfortable or uncomfortable. We have to have these hard conversations because at the end of the day, it's about the youth. It is about the youth. Not to mention some of them may be confused themselves. We have to understand what is happening here. They are literally dismantling our entire school system. From the critical race theory, Black history, all of the above, to Chicago public schools teaching, you know, non-binary pronouns to elementary kids. We talked about the education system last week on over 100 Black youth being targeted in MPS and having expulsions and suspensions more than twice as more than their white counterparts, their white peers. Again, there is a lot that is happening education-wise, not just with the curriculum, but we're talking staff. The amount of staff that is being turned around in these schools is causing issues, attachment issues with your children. If you don't believe me, ask them. If they go to a school where every new year or every semester there's a different staff, there's a different teacher, they will tell you. It's heartbreaking to some of them because they have actual bonds with some of these educators. Some of these educators have made impacted their lives in ways that others can never. And then they look up and then in a blink of an eye, they are no longer a part of their lives. They are no longer a part of their everyday life. And then you go to school and they telling you, hey, this is, you know, this teacher last year was this, but this year this teacher is this, and you need to be respectful. Everybody confused. They don't know what's going on. And then some of y'all look at me like, how dare you talk about this? Well, who else going to talk about it? Who else going to stand up for the youth and ask the questions that they want to know? Who else is going to take a stand for the youth and say, hey, we care. Some of us are okay with it. Some of us are not. But the point of the matter is nobody never asks us how we feel about it. I think a better way to do it is to have a conversation and open the room for them to be able to express themselves on how to deal with this. In conjunction with notifying the families, the parents, the guardians, to let them know that these conversations are going to be had. Let's finish this conversation. When we come back, we got to go to break to pay some bills. Brother Z, take us to commercial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.
Money and power I got. Couple friends, I don't got a lot. New friend on my right when I'm making a left in a Lambo, I'm bending a block.
101.7 The Truth, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. Welcome back. You are officially tapped in. Let's talk about what parents already have. Before we went to break, we were talking about the non-binary pronouns and whether or not parents should be notified, and also just, why don't anybody ever talk to the youth and ask them how they feel about these situations? So let me tell you something you do have. And I'm pretty sure some of you already know. Maybe you don't know the acronym, but to some degree, you know that you have this. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because as we see the guy who runs this country, I don't even like calling him the president, But the guy who runs this country, we see what he's doing with the critical race theory and Black history and things of that nature. We seen in Chicago that they were teaching a kindergarten class about pronouns and non-binary and transgender and all of that stuff, right? So on top of MPS, you know, over 100 youth being suspended and expelled twice as more as their white counterparts, it is important that we understand our children's record, their educational record. So let's talk about FERPA, right? FERPA generally gives parents rights involving access to their minor child's education records. So the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, also commonly known as the Buckley Amendment, became law in November 1974 to protect the privacy of personal identifiable information in a student's education record. However, the courts have been clear that not every document that names or refers to a student is a FERPA record, and have typically limited the reach of the statute in a common sense way to records that have something to do with educational activity. So FERPA serves a twofold purpose. One, to grant parents and students 18 or older access to information in the student's education record. And two, to protect that information from disclosure to third parties without parental consent. So the access to the record applies to any educational institute that receives any federal funding, which includes all public schools and the vast majority of private institutions. On request, a school must allow a parent or eligible student to inspect and review the student's education record, schedule a hearing to challenge the content of the record to ensure that it is not inaccurate, misleading, or otherwise in violation of the privacy rights of the student, and to insert into such record a written explanation by the parents regarding the content of the record. A school may not charge fees for granting access to inspect and review the record. However, FERPA does not require the school to provide copies of a record, so the school may charge a fee for copies made at the school's discretion. So obviously, it sounds like this is something that parents don't ask for a lot. So, and I don't believe that this is the normal record, right, that you can go, hey, can I get copies of my student's record? This doesn't sound like that. This sounds like something a little bit different. So the disclosure of the education record, the law withholds federal funds from any school with the policy or practice of permitting the release of education records or of the personally identifiable information contained in those records unless the adult student or parent has consented or another exception in the law applies. In other words, if a school has a policy or practice of improperly disclosing students' education records or not disclosing information it is required to disclose, it could potentially lose all federal funding. So the Department of Education has never imposed such a drastic penalty and demonstrating that a school has a policy or practice of violating FERPA is different from demonstrating an occasional violation. So it is crucial to note that FERPA only prevents the disclosure of education records. Nevertheless, schools and colleges cite FERPA as a convenient, all-purpose excuse to deny journalists requests for public records, even when the records have little relation to students' education life, including parking tickets issued to student athletes, the minutes and recordings of public committee meetings, the findings of investigations into academic dishonesty in college athletic programs, the amount of taxpayer money paid out to a family that filed a liability suit against the school district, names of recipients, and complimentary football tickets, right? So again, if it don't pertain to you, if it don't apply, let it fly. But this is something that I would most definitely start asking questions about when it comes to your child, just given the climate of this country, given the state that we're in, with all of the changes inside of our school system, with all of the changes that is currently being made by the guy who runs this country, including the Black history and everything else. And also, too, I talked about this last week. It's also important to obtain this record because whenever your child gets into a situation, you know that obviously they're suspended or whatever the case may be, and they send you this basic letter in the mail stating that they are suspended for X amount of days and they can return on such and such date. However, what they don't tell you or show you unless you ask is the wording that is being provided in that investigation that goes inside of your child's school records, right? And a lot of times they like to use terms that officers use when they are writing a police report. So yes, this conversation is, it may be a little dry to some of y'all, especially if you don't have children. But again, as an educator, I am telling you how this works. So if your child specifically has ever been suspended or expelled, you need to go request those records so that you can pay attention to the verbiage that is being used inside of their school records, inside of that FERPA file. You have to understand what is being said and what picture is being painted about your child. So, again, anybody can be whatever it is that they want to be, and the world has proven that that's obvious. But we have a higher responsibility, and at the end of the day, it's the children. And ultimately, parents have or should have the first say-so when it comes to whatever it is that their child is learning. And if you are an educator, you have an even bigger responsibility, especially if you are a leader, to properly include the families and notify them, right? Without automatically assuming that you can just talk about certain things, because not everybody is, again, not every child has access to that information or is exposed to that information. So I want to bring Black history into this carefully. I'm not saying that Black Americans' experience in the modern debate over gender identity are the same, because it is absolutely not. They are not by any means. I'm using Black history to illustrate one point, right? Curriculum decisions matter, conversations matter, because what schools teaches becomes a part of what a society remembers. So for generations, students could complete American history courses while learning incomplete versions of slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, racial violence, Black political movements, and Black achievement. Sometimes information wasn't technically false. It was simply missing context, right? Even today, Americans disagree about the legacy of slavery should have been taught, whether or not it should have. And Pew polling has found parents divided on whether schools should teach that slavery legacy continues to affect Black Americans today. Note the distinction, though. The disagreement isn't over whether or not it existed. It's over interpretation, consequences, and context. So to me, what it sounds like is that when the system doesn't want us to know certain things, then they remove it. Obviously, right? When they don't want us to be privy, and us is our children, our family, staff, whoever, right? They completely remove it. So I want to go here for a minute. Ask yourself this. How is it that this country has removed Black history from the schools, but is so eager to teach our babies about non-binary gender pronouns? Make it make sense to me, because as of now, it does not make sense. How is it that our babies don't know anything about Black history, right? And not just the simple Black history, but just Black history overall, the real Black history, the movements, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken, they have books. So what they're doing now is creating, you know, elective classes. And electives aren't mandatory. It's mandatory based on just having something else, but it isn't a civics class or a financial literacy class or an English class, right? Which means that unless you take that class, you wouldn't be privy to this information. So the fact that they're not teaching them Black history, but they are teaching them about non-binary pronouns, says a lot about this country, about this system. There is no way that our history should be excluded And our baby should not know who they are or where they come from or the fact that our ancestors built this country from the ground up. But it's okay for them to learn that their teacher was a man last year and this year he's a woman. And what that means. That is a problem. That is absolutely a problem. And again, speaking from a personal point of view as a parent and speaking from an educator's point of view, I do not agree with the fact that our babies have no information about who we are, but they can tell you about non-binary pronouns because this is what information, this is the information that they are getting inside of the school system. If you go up to some of these children and ask them if they know who Malcolm X is, right? They'll probably say, yeah, but they don't know his story. If you ask them about slavery, they don't know nothing about slavery. You ask them about Nat Turner. You can ask them about, they heard of Harriet. But ask them about non-binary pronouns and the conversations that has been being had in gender identity and all of these things and see what they tell you, right? See what they tell you. When I tell you that our education system is in shambles, I mean that with every inch of my soul. And again, this is no attack on a community. Anybody can be what they want to be, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Some people may like it, some people may not, but at the end of the day, the truth is the truth. Not honesty, the truth. We're going to finish this conversation when we come back. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. One-on-one-seven, The Truth, it's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. And listen, it is real. We're having a real, real, real conversation. Some people may not like it. Some people may be okay with it. But at the end of the day, the conversation needs to be had. We are talking about what we started talking about, the fact that there are a lot of parents who are upset at the fact that they have not been notified prior to their child being educated about non-binary gender pronouns, right? And before we went to break, I was saying that obviously I understand as an educator that you want the space to be safe for everyone inside of that environment, which is initially why these conversations are had. But at what point do you involve the parent, seeing how not every child is exposed in, because not every child is comfortable. Some may be confused. They come to school one year and see their teacher this way and then come back the next year and see their teacher another way. And to think that they don't have an opinion or feel a way is insane, right? And it's also dismissive. And we have to be very careful about that. It's not to say that they are upset or that they disagree or may become disrespectful, but they are human beings, especially when it comes to the older children. One of the points that I made prior to break was the fact that the purpose of me talking about all of this is education in general. And how involved are you when it comes to your child's education? Not just homework, right? When you go to parent-teacher conferences, are you asking to actually take a look at the curriculum that is being taught to your child so that you can understand what is being taught, right? Do you have access to your child's records? Especially if you have a child or a student who has been suspended or expelled, a lot of times in those reports, they utilize the same verbiage that they do inside of police reports. And you wouldn't know because all you receive in the mail is a letter telling you that your child was disciplined and that they'll be out for X amount of days. But they're not showing you that the investigation report that the principal wrote or that teacher wrote includes verbiage that a police officer would utilize inside of a police report. And you don't have this information because you don't have your child's record. So you can request, for those who are unaware, you can request your child's educational records under FERPA and Wisconsin pupil record laws by submitting a written request directly to that child's school principal or local school district office, right? You have to send a signed written request to the school principal or the district office. State which specific records you want to inspect or a copy of, and include your name, your child's name, and their date of birth or grade level. Now, they have a 45-day deadline. If they have an IEP, schools must provide access before any IEP meeting or due process hearing. And you can request it. The only way that your child can is if they are 18 years or older. So to all of my students who are listening, if you are a senior and you are 18, request your records. Request your student records. Request your educational records so that you can fully understand what is inside of that document. Especially if you have had a suspension before. And I also touched on the fact that the education system, obviously, we know is being completely dismantled, right? And what I can't understand for the life of me is why we are so willing to teach our students about non-binary gender pronouns, but not Black history. America is Black history. We built this country on our backs. Our ancestors did. So the fact that we're not teaching that, but we're teaching something else is insane to me. Because one wasn't a choice, the other one was. And again, it's not to take shots at anybody, but it is the truth. And the more we begin to conduct this type of behavior on top of excluding the parents or properly notifying the parents about this information, further proves the point that A, we are state property, B, that this is a system, and C, that no one cares about the youth. There are so many young people who are confused in life right now because of social media, because of TV shows, because of music, because of they have this person telling them one thing and another person telling them something different. And I don't mean confused necessarily in when it comes to identity. They don't know what to believe because they're being hit with so much information that we never had access to growing up. There is literally a society that is dictating an entire generation of kids. And ain't nobody talking about it enough. Everybody's going to start talking about it when it's too late, right? When you start to see 5 years from now, these students working jobs or in their career fields and things of that nature, then you'll see exactly what I mean. And again, I'm speaking from both sides of the spectrum. I'm speaking as a parent and as an educator. There are simply just some things that you have to tell me about when it comes to my child. My child should never come home and tell me that they were learning something that I hadn't even had the chance or opportunity to teach them yet. What gives you the right? You didn't have the decency to notify me and say, hey, this is what we're going to be discussing. I just want to give you a courtesy call that we're going to talk about non-binary gender pronouns due to the nature of this environment. And we have, you know, some staff members, whatever the case may be. And then allow that parent to dictate on how they want to move forward with the information that their child receives. It's inconsiderate. And just because it may be your norm does not mean it's everybody else's norm. Because some things is hard to explain to your child, right? Some things you don't want your child knowing about until they become a certain age. So for someone to take that away and do it because they're running a business, how much do you really care about the kids? Y'all listening to me talk about it, some people probably pissed. But guess what? These kids going to talk about it for you when I bring them up here. I'm going to force y'all to listen to them because nobody listens to the youth. Nobody takes what these babies is feeling and saying and give them the platform or a voice. Everybody is constantly making decisions for them. And then when they begin to do the things that they do, especially while they're trying to stay sane during whatever it is they're going through with the pressures of society. Nobody sits down and have conversations with them about this. So we're going to. School is back in session. I am going to start bringing the students back on here. Not just my students, but the youth, period. Because it's one thing for me to talk about it, but it's another thing for y'all to hear from the horse's mouth. And again, this doesn't apply to all of them. Some don't feel no way. They don't care. They understand it, right? I had a very good conversation with a student today who was like, Ms. Jazz, I'm okay with it. And they should respect people's decisions and, you know, who they are. I just think they went about it the wrong way. This is a junior who said this. And then another student was like, I be mad uncomfortable in that class. But I can't say that out loud because they're going to start, you know, treating me a certain way. These are the things that our children are facing at school, that, and they shouldn't have to. They should just go to school and be able to go to school. They should be able to go to school and learn and, you know, hang out with their friends and not feel so much pressure. Not feel like they can't speak up and say certain things because if they do, people are going to treat them differently. But most importantly, I think the bigger question is, what is happening to these institutions? Are y'all paying attention? Or are y'all just watching? It's like hearing versus listening. There's something happening that we have to be mindful of and we have to move accordingly. And if you have relationships with educators, doesn't matter if they attend or work at the school that your child does, you need to be talking to them. You need to start having conversations with them so you can understand. I get it, man. We got a life, right? I work two jobs. We have a life. We have so much going on. And a lot of parents don't mean no harm, right? They working trying to keep the lights on. It's hard for them to make some of them parent-teacher conferences. It's hard for them to take some of them phone calls depending on how they work schedule is set up and taking care of the babies. Now, that's not the excuse for every parent, but it is a reality for a lot. Therefore, people like me, this is why I am here. I am here for parents like that. If you don't know, if you don't have an ally inside of your child's school, if you don't have nobody that's going to tell you the truth, know that Jazz Tyler will. I'm going to always give you the real. I'm not going to be biased about it. I'm going to give you my opinion as a parent and as an educator, but I'm also going to hit you with facts and stats so that you can be clear. If you don't have the capacity, time-wise, to be involved inside when it comes to your child's education as much as you would like, especially if you're a single parent, I get it. But find somebody who can educate you and help you. Because the things that our babies are facing is not normal. I don't care what nobody say or how they feel about it. That's the truth. And they don't have an outlet. They do. I'm one outlet. But we have to start having these conversations. We got to go to break to pay some bills. When we come back, let's finish this conversation. 833-212-1017. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.